This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ken Boyd is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and it's an honor to welcome him live in studio and to this program for the first time. How are you, sir? How was your Christmas?
I'm doing fine, and thank you. It's great to be here.
Was Santa good to you?
Oh, yes, he was. Always good to me.
What'd you get?
Well, I think I got a new fishing pole, which is something
nice.
I enjoy an awful
nice.
Lot.
Nice. An ugly stick, or is it?
No, it's not an ugly stick. This is for more saltwater fishing.
Oh,
I'm
really?
A lot of fishermen, so, yeah.
I didn't know you did that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a place down in Urbana, and we'd love to go down there.
Fun. That's
so this
great.
This is the last week of the season, too, so it works in.
Oh, you can fish this late?
Yeah, up until December 31st.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. Wow. Ken, I want to play something for you because we don't have much time. I want to play something for you and give you an opportunity because we talked about it before when you weren't here, and it's always nice to have folks in here when they can actually say, well, this is what I meant and this is what I was talking about. So let's hear this, a couple of clips from a couple of recent meetings, and then you can provide the context for us.
So I'm going to do what the people I represent want me to do because that's what I think they put me in this job to do.
That was your statements about when you decided not to support, I believe, a new development that was being proposed
wasn't a new development. That's what needs to be clarified. It was expanding the growth area for an infill area there.
A new shopping center, basically, an opportunity for a new shopping center.
Didn't approve that. It was only approved. See, that's really what's the misunderstanding that's happening and some of the additional information that I got in between that particular clip and the more recent one that you have where I indicated that I've gone back to my original thought, which was to support expanding the growth area.
Yeah, and let's hear that so folks know what we're talking about.
I'm saying that some additional information has been brought to my attention that's made me reconsider what I said. And I'm perfectly willing to take the political heat for that, if that's what way it goes.
So tell us now, you're thinking originally when you said, I can't support this, all the neighbors have come forward and told me, and I'm here to represent them, and so I can't support this increase of the growth area across from Forest Lakes, south of the Hollymead Town Center.
Right.
But then new information came forward. I don't know if you've shared publicly yet what this new information is, and maybe we have an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, well, we do. And actually, I have shared it with some other people and individuals from Forest Lakes. Because what happened, you see, is when I changed my mind at the first meeting that you had, that's when I actually changed my mind about my support. And there was a couple of reasons for that.
So you originally went in to support it.
Oh, I voted for it.
I see. Okay.
The only vote that was taken for it actually was a 4-2 vote, which was voted to include it in the growth area and to be brought forward for the public hearing that way. Now, the public hearing was the next meeting that we had, and two things had happened during that time. I had gotten a petition from a number of citizens in Forest Lake saying that they did not want to approve any development over there. And see, that's the misunderstanding. Now, you understand how master plans work with comprehensive plans and development approval and zoning because you talk a lot about that. But most people don't understand that. It's a very complex process. And what I found out was that even if you read the entire transcript of the public hearing, it said that this was against my better wishes, but I'd been had an outpouring of people who said in Forest Lakes they didn't want that there. Well, what I didn't realize is they thought as you started out your program that we were approving development there. We were not approving development. In fact, it doesn't approve development at all. All it does is invite private investment. Now, the other thing that changed,
which means what? Which would mean development, right? I mean, everybody assumed that when you change the zoning, it makes it possible then for somebody like Wendell Wood, who is, I think, what we're most likely talking about here, to come in and put in another shopping center in that area.
Yeah, but it doesn't allow him to do that. That's the point. It always says that this is an area that's available for rezoning. It doesn't rezone the property. And I think that's what the people were confused about. Either they had been misled or misunderstood, one of the two, that the vote we were taking was to approve a project there, and it was, in fact, not doing that. The only thing we were approving is that it could be brought forward for rezoning. It would be possible to rezone it. Now, when people come in to rezone it, that's where we get proffers. That's the only time that we can actually say, well, we think that you need to improve this road or that road or do infrastructure updates or changes for it. And I just thought the reason I changed my mind is that we should give the public an opportunity to hear what they could get out of it. The biggest thing that came, I went to almost all of the 29 places, public hearings and meetings that they had, and the biggest thing I heard, the most important improvement they wanted was Berkmore Drive extended, and that's still that way today. I hear that all the time today. You know, can we get the bridge, can we get the parallel road? That's the important thing that we need. VDOT's not going to do that. I mean, there is no money in the six-year plan to do anything.
Because the biggest part of that is the bridge, right? The
biggest part is the bridge,
yeah.
Well, as well as the parallel road. And the other part of we want, of course, to do is widen 29 there. That needs to be widened there.
Yeah.
But the Forest Lakes residents that I've talked to, their biggest concern is what happened to that poor young lady, Cindy, 8 years ago, and that intersection needs to be improved. And we've tried and tried to figure out some way to improve that intersection with VDOT dollars, and VDOT has just kept saying, we don't have the money, we can't do it. Well, if I could solicit proffers to improve that intersection and prevent another fatal accident like that, then I think it may be worth it. But that's what I want to put to the people, not yeah. the fact that this is just approving it arbitrarily.
So that was the motivation to agree to take it out of the rural area and put it up for the possibility of development, was that right. maybe if it gets developed, we can figure out a way to improve the intersection in the process.
Well, I don't think it would be can. It would be if there's going to be any development there, we would have to have some improvement to that Ashwood Boulevard.
Yeah. We're talking with Ken Boyd, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. I know, of course, that a lot of your constituents in Forest Lakes, because they've emailed me, are quite upset, and they feel betrayed, and they've said to me, oh, this is just Ken doing a favor for Wendell Wood. Is that true?
That's absolutely not true. I mean, I would never do a favor for, you know, I've had people write to me and say that I'm going to personally gain from this. None of that stuff is true. I mean, that's really an insult to my integrity, I feel. And what I plan on doing, though, is I'm trying to arrange it now. Unfortunately, all the schools are out, so I can't get the school. But either at Sutherland or Hollymead, I'm going to have a town hall meeting next month, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to face the people, and if they come out, and I'll be glad to have this discussion with them, explain why it is that I've changed my mind, and to get their further input on it.
And
the vote has
again,
not happened yet.
Just to give you another opportunity for the folks mm-hmm. who are just joining us, what will be your message then at that town hall meeting? What's the main takeaway that you want to leave them with?
Well, my message, I think, would be if we want to improve the Ashwood Boulevard intersection, and if we want to get Berkmore Drive extended, we're going to have to invite some private investment in it and make sure
that land will have to be out of the rural area.
Yes.
To make that possible.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is a lot of people didn't realize that we've actually been decreasing the growth area over the years. We decreased it in Pantops. We decreased it certainly when we lost Biscuit Run. And it's not like it's a net increase in the expansion area. It actually would still be a net loss in growth area for it.
Yeah.
And that's another issue. If I was reading back over the minutes from the meeting that we had where the people came out to speak, and I remembered that what I'd said in there, I was kind of disillusioned by master planning anyway, because the only thing it does is continue to rile up the citizens saying that we're going to put more growth in their area. And I think that's what bothers the people in Forest Lakes. I saw it happen in Pantops with Fontana neighborhood. Certainly we saw it in Crozet, the first master plan. The biggest was like a revolt out there. They said, what do you mean you're going to pack 24,000 people in here with your master plan?
So if there was a vote to abandon the master planning process, would you vote yes? Do you think there's more harm than good to come of it?
Well, I think given the economic situation right now, I'm not sure that I don't know. I would have to think about that long and hard, because I do believe in master planning. I do believe that we need to decide on how we want development and growth in this community, and that should be yeah. something that the citizenry does. We can't just have sprawl, and I'm totally opposed to that.
We're talking with Ken Boyd, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. We're honored to have him live in studio, and let's go right direct to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Greg.
Greg, you go right ahead, buddy.
Ken, I have a question for Ken and a comment, and that is, to me, it's very important to get a road around 29. And focus on getting two bridges over the Rivanna other than on 29 from a safety issue, especially since, you know, if there was some kind of major catastrophe. And I'm just going to sign off what Ken thinks about that. Dickerson Road might be a good road for that.
Greg, thank you for the call. Always look forward to you joining the conversation. So there seems to be a member of our community who would like not only Berkmar to go up, but maybe a Western Bypass as well. I think we have the political will for Berkmar, but...
Definitely we have the political will for... I mean, everybody is... It's 100% support for that, including the community and everybody, and I'm just trying to figure out a way to get that done. Now, the Western Bypass, whether we call it a bypass or another parkway, dare I say the word parkway, or just a parallel road, I think there are some options there that could certainly alleviate some of the pressure on 29, because we talk about the fact that only 15% based on 20 year ago traffic analysis. Well, it's been updated.
I think it's like 12% now is pass through traffic. Yeah, the rest is us.
But
right?
I've never really decided on how that pass through is calculated. And I also found in back long years ago, I asked, was that analysis done during the rush hours? Because middle of the afternoon, I don't have any problem getting here from my office, which is up on Ohio Road. I just breeze right through the lights, and then you're talking about a 7 to 10 minute ride. So it's not really a problem except for morning and afternoon. And we never really just patterned that traffic. Because I think during those hours, there's a lot of people that are going to the university, going home to Green or Madison or other areas. And I think that's what's missing from some of the statistics that we have now.
We're talking with Ken Boyd at 4:45 on the clock. Let's go back to the phones. Call your first name, please.
Dee Dee,
go right ahead. You're on with Ken Boyd.
Hi, Ken. How are you? I've got another popular subject, the water plan. And Ken, I've asked this question a number of times and never gotten really a terribly good answer, but I think you are in the perfect position to answer it. It's a financial question, and I know you sit on the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority board. The Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority has said that they can pay for the dam, the new earthen dam at Ragged Mountain, and this is just the first phase, but without raising rates. And I believe you've said the same thing. You repeated it. It's actually repeated quite often. And in the meantime,
Dee Dee, you with us?
Oh, sorry. And in the meantime, we've heard that that the county is willing to pay for the whole dam. So I'm wondering if you could explain. This is a $40 million project, and that would more than double the county's debt service. Can you explain how it is that you can pay for that without raising rates?
Dee Dee, thank you for the call. Ken, has the county offered to pay the whole cost of the dam?
No. I think the only thing that they, and it's actually the service authority, if you really think about it, the county doesn't have an interest in this exactly because we have a service authority that is the entity that takes care of the water for our area. But the service authority has agreed to pay for the design for the final design of the plan, and they are in fact paying for that now, and the process is going on now. But back to Dee Dee's original question, this plan was approved first time in 2006, and we knew that it was going to increase the water rate. So what was good practice, I think, on the water authority's part was to start accruing the money it was going to take to approve for this. I mean, it was approved by all the boards, City Council, Board of Supervisors, everything else. So rather than have a big hit at one time with it, they started accruing the necessary monies that they were going to need. So they've been accruing it for the last 4 years.
I thought they raised rates to pay for a bladder on the South Fork and used the infrastructure that we had and never spent that money on that.
No, I don't know that they ever raised any money for the bladder. That was one of the options that was studied, but it was discounted early on that we were going to do that. So what happened, I guess you could say that the raise has already been incorporated into the water rates.
Yeah.
And it was done years ago in anticipation of it. So there's no additional rate increases that are required at this point in order to do it. Now, that's based on the financial runnings to it. And the other point I want to mention is that $40 million is just the high end of the project. None of us really expected it's going to cost that much money.
Yeah.
In everybody's engineering estimate, they gave us a range of, say, $26 to $40 million, $13 to $19 million. These are all ranges of numbers to make sure they're accounting for unforeseen consequences that might come up. But what they're not taking into consideration is the bidding environment we're in right now. We're bidding projects out, capital projects now, and they're coming in 30 to 35% less than what our engineering estimates are. So
we're talking
really
with,
thinks it'll be 40 minutes.
If you just joined us, it's 4:49, and we're talking with Ken Boyd, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. I want to take a moment here and just talk man-to-man and speak very candidly.
Sure.
I am so sick of talking about water on this program. I think most people who like this show, the folks out there who do, are sick of hearing me talk about water. But you and I both know this just happens to be the biggest issue here that this community has faced in generations. And looking at potentially the most expensive public works project that we've engaged in 100 years. This is a huge issue. It deserves a lot of discussion. How do we get past this impasse? Because you are one of the folks at the table. I am not. Mm. You are at the table. You are in this conversation. But you're on the side that has said, we're not going to compromise. All we're going to try to do is convince the other side to think like we do. And yet the other side keeps thinking more and more, hey, we got a lot of science on our side. All the facts are new. We've got so many more so much more knowledge now that we didn't have when we created this plan almost 5 years ago. How do we, tell me, please, because I'm desperate, because I want to move on. This whole community wants to move on. How do we get past a point where we sort of seem stuck, where the side you're on says, literally, no compromise, and the other side says, please compromise, because we have so much more new information, and all the assumptions that we base the 2006 plan on are wrong. Now, that's what they're saying.
Right.
And you know that I agree with them, but I'm not speaking for them now. What are your thoughts? How do we move this forward?
Well, I would disagree that there hasn't been a lot of compromise already. I mean, we have gone through extra study after extra study, which the county has compromised on and said we've paid for and we've contributed to the expense of some of these issues. And we've gone back and we said, okay, we'll take a look at it. Now, the difference is that one side feels that it's compelling evidence that means that we ought to change our plan, and we consider it as compelling evidence not to change it. And we back that up with the most recent thing that happened, which we went ahead and paid to bring back in the expert panel who have their, you know, Snapple has an interest in this because they want to do the design. Black and Veatch has an interest in it. So we brought in people that don't have any interest in which way it goes, and we said, tell us what you think of these two plans. They said it's missing a lot. They said that the information provided by Black and Veatch is missing a lot of information. Now, Black and Veatch didn't have time to study it. They said they needed 2 weeks to come back with that. So they came back 2 weeks later, and they said, you know, here's how we would deal. We'll add $1.2 million to our cost estimates, and we'll deal with this. But they only dealt with half the questions, and a lot of the major ones they didn't deal with. Of course, admitting that they didn't have time to go through that process.
I think they're due back in January, though.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I hope they do come back with something that's a little more favorable to it. But the problem with compromise is you have to identify what compromise means. And on the city council side, compromise means for the board of supervisors to do what they want to do. I mean, that's what they want us to compromise and do is to agree with them. And we're saying, not this time. I can tell you a story about, you know, if you, I know you're a historian and you like to study history. And there's a saying about that those people who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. I want to tell you about the jail, which is 150% at capacity right now, the regional jail that we operate with City of Charlottesville and some other counties. In 1995, there was a consultant's report that says, you need to expand that thing much larger than we did. And they said, and the city came up and said, there's no way we need to do that. What we'll do is we will cut back on we'll help on reincarceration. We'll cut back on and we'll start putting more programs for home maintenance and things like that. And they talked the county, who compromised at that time, and built half the size jail that they really were supposed to build. And now we've got a problem. We have a real problem because we're going to have a huge expense. I don't know how much it's going to be at some point in time when the state comes in and says, you got to do something about this jail situation. The parallel for that is amazing because it was the Board of Supervisors wanted to go ahead with the consultant's report and build the size jail that we needed.
But you're not saying one causes the other. You're just saying that this
is sort of context
for the issue of no compromise.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and you know, look how much we've compromised on the Meadow Creek Parkway. I mean, gosh, we've redesigned that thing 4 or 5 times, something like that, and every time we've gone from 4 lanes to 2 lanes to all sorts of information, and we're still at an impasse there. So
fairness, Ken, the county did agree in the three-party agreement back in, I think, 96. They said, we won't build our portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway until the Eastern Connector and the Western Bypass is built, and the county abandoned both of those and went ahead and built its portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Well, that was agreed to by both the county and the city at the time, too. When we finally did come up with that, when those things became obvious that they weren't going to happen, you know, I chaired the connector, the Eastern Connector Road.
Are we ever going to do that?
Not unless you want to go through two major parks in this area.
Is that what it is?
I mean, that's what it is. All the traffic numbers rounding it further out through the Southwest Mountains and historic areas that are out there just will not work at all. And the only practical way to do it would be to take it through the parks, and neither side is interested in doing that.
Yeah. We're talking with Ken Boyd. I want to go back to the phones. They're all lighting up. A lot of folks trying to get through. Caller, what's your first name?
Betty.
Betty, go right ahead. Real quick, Betty.
Well, Ken, you and I talked about this before, but I really think the way to move the water issue forward, maybe many other issues, is for the city and the county to get together again, not with any other boards, just the elected officials, and put their facts out on the table. Because when you say you're not going to raise rates because you've been accruing all this money since 2002, half of that money belongs to the city. The city needs no water. The city does not need a new dam. So all the money that's going to be spent on the dam is not going to come from that pile of money that's been piled up because it's city money, even more city money than county money. So this is constantly the problem. You present one set of what you call facts, and then you disagree with the city facts. We need to hire a mediator, not the ITRT that's been working for Ravana, that's had secret meetings, that's...
Real quick,
Betty. Anyways, please, please get together with the city officials and have a decent adult conversation and put all your facts out on the table. And I really appreciate it for the whole community if the Board of Supervisors would agree to that meeting, and with the DEQ.
Betty, thank you. Thank you, Betty, very much for the call. A Republican talking point there. Let's have an adult conversation. What are your thoughts on that? Would you sit down with the city? And
I'm as tired of listening to people talk about water as you are, quite believe me, and having to talk about it. We need to move forward with a solution on this. I think if we saw that there was some room for movement on either side, that I'd sit down. Certainly, I would be willing to sit down with the city if we could come up with a solution to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to comment about the accrual of the money. The money's been accrued on a pro rata basis. It's not 50-50. The city is not putting in that much because we in the county recognize that's where the growth's going to be, and so we're willing to pay for our fair share of that. And there was a formula derived. I've been trying to get that formula updated for at least the year I've been on the Ravana Water Sewer Authority. And I can't get that formula updated, so the city can't really complain about it. It was the formula they devised as to how they're going to, what percentage each municipality was going to pay.
Let's try the phones one more time. Caller, what's your first name?
Richard.
Richard, go right ahead, buddy.
So, Ken, I'm understanding that you're saying that the county is not going to pay for the entire cost of the dam, because I've heard so many people tell me that they would pay for the entire cost. And the other thing is that the demand study... I still don't see where we have anybody that has proven that we need additional water for the next 40 years.
Well, first of all, the demand study, there's differences of opinion on that, as you know. We've gone back and forth with that. We brought in a second person, the Swartz Report, who reduced it a little bit, but not as far back as the city would like to do it.
But we do know that the numbers, even for 2010 and 11, they're already way off, right?
No, I don't know that they're way off. I think that based on the last 10 years, what's happened since 2002, that the projections were wrong there. But you can't base it. We're told by the experts, you can't base it on a 10-year period. It's got to be a much longer period of time. We also know that the university has now come out and said, hey, you know, we are going to need additional water. I mean, they keep talking about how they've been very efficient in their water use, and they have in a per capita basis, but their capita is going up.
Yeah, they're still going to grow.
They're going to grow, and they're going to increase the amount of water that they need. And they've come out now. You know, that's the thing that really gets me. I mean, we've got so many people who have independently studied this, including the engineers from the University of Virginia, and have come back and said the county's plan is the best way to go. And there's just one small group out there and the city council that says it's not. I mean, I don't understand why the majority of the community has to compromise to the minority. And that's the way it appears to me.
Ken Boyd is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. It's been great having you here, and I would hope that you would join me again sometime.
Listen, I'll be back anytime you want me to.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.